Did you guys hear about the new hairstyle that's like going wild in barbershops around the country?
Oh, I have not.
The Travis Kelce? This kids is
are,
crazy.
According to the New York Times, the kids are going into barbershops and demanding. It's like overwhelming. They're demanding the Travis Kelce.
You motherfuckers have never heard of a fade before?
Yeah, this fucking, is a classic fade.
It's a fucking fade.
It's just a fade. That shit is fucking, that you know.
Yeah. Actually, tied on the sides, two on top.
Yeah, that's fucking ridiculous.
Jesus Christ.
Or the Kelce. I think it's the Kelce now.
Well, they just found out about it.
That shit is so
And
funny.
They're not going to give credit where credit is due.
I saw that headline. I saw that headline and I fucking busted out laughing.
Like, yeah, Paul Wall.
I'm like, y'all think you did something.
Even for the whites. Like, Paul Wall had that shit. Any white boy I knew... kind of in my high school had a certain way had
Same,
that shit
actually.
Like I don't know they've been had that like I don't you know what I mean
yeah I think Dante DiVincenzo has it as we speak it's just some niche basketball player. Erica's I'm perplexed
like, I'm like what a beautiful name
like is he a poet he do I know like him
it. But this is the classic like things have been around forever and they're calling it it's kind of blasphemous honestly
the Travis Kelce please. Yeah. Just a fade. I was talking to my friend. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I was talking to my friend.
Yeah, switch it up real quick.
I was just talking to my friend about it. And he's white. And he said that back in the day, his brother went to a white barbershop. Was like, because, you know, he heard black people talk about fades. He's like, can I get a fade? And he was like, listen, son, we call that a taper. That's what black people call that fades. Okay, since right here we call those tapers,
and now it's called a Travis Kelce.
Yeah, now it's called a Travis Kelce. So it's come full circle.
Wow,
what a beautiful American story
of gentrification of
the fade.
Yeah,
that's fucking crazy.
Wait, this feels like, well, in Chicago specifically, I came across this influencer in the wild, and they were at like this Mexican grocery store that's just been around forever, and they did like my buddy like. Tagged me in it because I was just like he knew I would get a kick out of it, and yeah, they just discovered this Mexican grocery store that is very nice and I enjoy it very much. But
I do too.
It's been
Can
around.
We name it.
Yeah, Cermak Produce, I guess for the local folks.
Fresh Market. No,
whatever.
Cermak Fresh.
But they just found out about it.
Yeah, they were just like. Going on about why they like it and that there's fresh produce every day. And I'm like, yeah, it's fucking in the name. I also pointed out to them that there is a spice aisle at this store. That was my only comment. Like,
oh, he doesn't know.
So they were shocked by the fresh produce at a place called Cermak Fresh Produce. Fresh Produce.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people are surprised that something Mexican or something black is good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that. That shock, like, oh, I didn't know you guys could.
That's
you know?
That's what that ignorance, because you run into black and Mexican awesome shit all the time. Yep. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So that's just some, like, you're on some other shit.
It's not right.
Yeah, it's two things that are related. It's Mexican food and then, like, let's say, like black barbecue. Both things are very labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the general, like, market expects both of them to be really, really cheap.
Yeah.
And a lot of work and really cheap don't go together in a business math.
No.
So, like, it's very much like a racial, like, drive
like demanding
to think that. Yeah.
That we provide everything
for cheap.
Yeah. For cheap. All at all times.
Like, you don't deserve more of my money.
It's
That's
absurd.
Kind of the vibe, right?
Yeah, like we bring so much to the table all the time in every field. And, you know, who gets the recognition, you know?
Travis Kelce.
The Travis Kelce thing and like it just reminds me, it's just like always like a discovery for white folks. Of like it's been happening this ceremony. Like, oh my God, you know, like pretty cheap and have like fresh produce and a bunch of like Mexican foods. It's interesting. Oh, who knew? Like everybody fucking knew. Everyone knew.
Yeah.
Except for y'all.
Yeah. We've like, been here.
Like, you know what I mean? So like it's like Travis Kelce, you know, you could fade your shit out a little bit. Did you know that? Instead of just having one, just do a number one on the motherfucking Clippers. Did you know that? Travis Kelce figured it out. No, he didn't fucking figure that shit out. We've been doing that shit. Like, it's just.
I don't know. Like, I heard Kelce was in the lab just working on that shit for years.
It's all this shit. Yeah. It's just Christopher Columbusing shit all over the place. Like, like whoever did that Termite thing's like, I got this urgent message. Like, I got to spread the word about this place, yo.
What an asshole. You know, when I see people filming like that, I'm just like, what an asshole. And maybe I'm fucked up for that, but that's what I feel.
And here's the thing. I think there's a way to find something and then want to share that thing in a way that's like, you're not appropriating. You're not trying to claim that you discovered a thing. You might even want to lean into your ignorance on something. Go like, man, I can't believe I've lived my whole fucking life without knowing that this existed.
Acknowledge it.
Or also don't sound surprised. Like that's very telling when you're just
oh, Mexicans can do this.
It's like, why there's like no Mexicans shopping with you at your Whole Foods? Like, where the fuck you think people go to get groceries? Like, you know what I mean? Like, growing it in their backyard?
Is this a safe space? Can I make a confession? Because it gives me a window.
And then you go to Whole Foods.
All right. So, like, sometimes we run out of tortillas. Milagro, tortillas.
And
it'd be a 20-30 minute drive, maybe, depending on traffic, to get to a spot that has them.
I know what you're
saying. And the Whole Foods near us has El Milagro tortillas. So sometimes I will go to Whole Foods and buy Milagro tortillas.
Mm.
And I don't feel good about this.
Oh,
is it like a premium?
Are they like $3?
They are definitely overpriced.
But what are you going to do? You know, you need tortillas.
You know the good news? They're always there. They never run out.
Damn. Shit, you might actually want to check the dates on those things.
This is my cheat code. I will never. If everybody else is hunting for El Milagro Tortillas, I know the spot. I mean,
you remember the strike during the pandemic. It was a big deal, man.
It fucked us up.
People couldn't find tortillas and, you know.
I knew where they were.
Dude, that would be a weird.
I had a hookup too.
That'd be tough to change the muscle memory because in Chicago, tortillas sell. You never have to worry about like, are these from yesterday? Are these from like 2 days ago, last week? Like, you don't got to look at a date. They're still warm from the fucking box truck that dropped them off.
They just go. Yeah.
But like at Whole Foods, I would check the date.
I trust Jeff Bezos. He's not going to steer me wrong. It's all good.
Oh my God.
I always forget.
I saw a spread of him and his now wife in their like gigantic ranch in Texas. And it was just like, it was in Vogue. And it was just like
sexy.
The most revolting thing.
Wait,
the most erotic thing I've ever read.
I was told she was your cousin. She's Sanchez. I was told y'all were related.
No, wait, tell me about it. Sorry, I got you. Tell me about the spread, though, because I just assumed it's sexy.
It was just absurd. It was like this motherfucker who's taken so much from the planet and is now like doing philanthropy for the planet. Nah. And it's like, that's fucked up. It makes no sense. We shouldn't live in a system like that. You know, like billionaires should you know, like they shouldn't exist.
Billionaire philanthropy though, like that is covered the way that's covered by the media. It's like they gave their life and soul to some shit where I'm like, they literally gave whatever amount they gave, changed their lifestyle. 0%.
Yeah, I mean that's the 0%. Point.
Yeah,
like exactly. They didn't even have to like downgrade the wax on their super yacht, right? Yeah. Like not a fucking difference to their lifestyle. Not,
like we gotta drop our thread count on our sheet.
Yeah, not a fucking
thing. $500 million gift. Like people don't give money
because they're also hoarding.
But
but
the way that it's covered though, like his ex wife Mackenzie something. White. Yeah, whatever her name is. She gave away so much. I'm like, yeah, but she had that much to give away. Why aren't we outraged by the fact that that was even a reality to begin with?
It really shouldn't be an option, you know?
It shows the political, literal power of billionaires. I mean, they're literally like sucking money away from everyone else. Siphoning it from every area of your life. And then now he can redistribute it as he sees fit. Go to space, get his ranch, maybe some philanthropy here or there, whatever.
It's like a weird power.
With his fucking bald ass head.
Right, yeah. Right.
Like, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
And he's short, right? He must be.
I don't know.
He should get it. I would respect him if he just came out with like a fucking toupee. Just straight up, just went toupee all of a sudden. I'd be like, that dude's got some balls on him. I'd be like, all right, that's a point for you, Bezos.
Wait, I feel like he's going to get hair plugs soon. He's just living like a.
He really is.
Like a nerd who thinks he's like. This like hip Miami dude all of a sudden. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
He looks like if Pitbull and Marvel supervillain had a fucking child. Like that's who this would be.
Yeah, no, he really does. It's really weird. His like little his physical appearance transformation. Now that he got divorced, he's like a bad boy. He's out here being our bad boy.
And he's
boy.
All swole, supposedly, you know? Like, those are implants.
Remember when Elon Musk...
He's 5'7". You were totally on the nose. 5'7".
Remember when Elon and Facebook dude were about to fight? Yeah. What's it, when Elon and...
Shout out to our Short King listeners.
Elon and what's his face
just
about the fight?
Just own it,
that was,
you know?
That was crazy.
When Elon was what?
Elon was going to fight the Facebook guy.
Oh, they never fought. Oh, like, I would love to see them fight.
I would have never... That's a situation where you're like, how do I... I'm going to root for just the building to collapse?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not rooting for a person to win.
No. Yeah,
who's the Facebook... I can't think of his name. Was it
Zuckerberg.
Yeah, I think I'd go for
Zuckerberg
in that one. Just like a slightly...
Younger.
He's, okay, we're talking my betting money, like who I put my money. I put my money on Zuck. We're just talking money, straight up. I put my money on Zuck because Elon Musk is full of shit. I put my bucks on Zuck. You can quote me on that. I would definitely. Yeah, I mean, right? Because Elon Musk is older.
Nerd ass has been doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Yeah. So if I was a betting man,
yeah.
Oh my god.
Although Elon Musk claims that he can fight. And that's, I believe, he also claims that we will have fully autonomous vehicles from Tesla in 2016. So
he says a lot of shit that's not true.
The boring company is going to do God
knows
what.
So just believe it.
What I will say though is, you know, we've covered it because there's always something to cover, right? But I will say the market is starting to catch up to his bullshit, and it's been a pretty brutal streak of weeks. Which, granted, there's still probably a ton of money in the grand scheme of things, but I think people are catching on to the bullshit.
Yeah.
They used to look past it, and the stock used to go up. He used to get more funding. It's the House of Cards is looking a little shaky.
Something's gotta give.
He's starting to blame, you know, everyone else for everything. That's why.
That's how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he blamed the. Speaking of which, very no ching is appropriate. He blamed the immigrants for some shit like this week.
Oh,
he was just like about like money in the market. He's like, well, you know, they come and they get all these benefits.
Mm-hmm. Benefits.
But they also pay taxes. Like they're paying for those benefits.
What an asshole. Yes. I mean, Jesus Christ. There are people living on the street, you know, with their fucking babies.
The man shits in a gold toilet. And he wants you to go. He's like, points over.
Emerald.
He points over there and goes, look at those people. They're taking all your shit. I'm like, sir, get the fuck out of my face with that shit.
It's a fucking joke. And this is the kind of shit that ever since I was a young woman, I'd be like, how is this way? Like, what in the fucking world is going on? Why does this exist? And why, you know, am I supposed to feel inferior to these people who don't moisturize their fucking joints?
You ask the question, you say, so you're going to just come up with something called the boring company, mm-hmm. where you just dig holes and it's supposed to solve all their transportation problems. But then, and then where you just have like a drill, like in, like I saw like in Ninja Turtles or some shit. Yep. And then you get billions of dollars for it, and it fails. You did one like little Hyperloop thing. I don't in like
of government. Yeah.
Government funds. Money. Our money.
Our money. God. So when he's pointing at immigrants saying they're taking your money.
That was a big scam though. Yeah.
Fucking Elon Musk is jacking us for
that
everything.
Shit was a grift. Yeah. The Bourne Company was a grift.
Remember the monorail episode of The Simpsons?
He's that guy.
They sold flamethrowers.
He was full of shit.
The Bourne Company sold hats, and then they sold a bunch of hats and then sold flamethrowers. So they're more of a hat company than an underground transportation company.
And even the hats suck.
So to answer your question, when you start asking those questions, the answer we always it goes is white supremacy. That's
when in doubt,
not bossy.
Because I couldn't walk around being like, I got this idea, guys.
And some people say
it's called the Boring Company. Yeah. Hear me out. Yeah, really excited.
He thought it was clever.
I would fund it if I were a white person. I would fund your project.
Thank you. It's weird. It's like a weird.
As it stands, she wouldn't dare fund your ideas. But if she were a white person, she might.
She might undo racism by being a white person to give to black person.
I was making a lot of leaps.
Oh yeah,
in that
you leapt.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just so many PEMDAs. Leaps. Yeah, you know, sometimes you have to try because you know you want to feel alive.
You were doing the hurdles over there, all kinds of leaps. Yeah.
Not going to get funding that way, Roddy. Yeah,
you're really shooting yourself in the foot right now, man. You might want to back up.
Digging yourself a deeper and deeper hole here.
Wait.
Oh, you know who does that really well?
Me?
The Boring Company.
Yep. Yeah.
Boring Elon Company. Oh. Tusks.
Musks. So some person commented on, I think, was it Spotify or some shit, that I talk too much.
It's, while it's accurate, it's rude. Very rude. Yeah, like,
ooh. It was like ass backwards. Wasn't it saying like you talk over us? And I'm like, I think it's quite the opposite. Yeah,
like, I know for a fact. Like I was like, I heard, like I know for a fact I was talking over her in this episode. Like I'm confused.
I'm planning on doing it more this episode.
Yeah. For me, it was encouraging. Like, and like it's one of those things, like you were right, Marty. Like even though you have a point, you shouldn't say it, you know? You know? What? Even if she's right a little bit.
Oh, even if she's
just like a little bit right.
Oh, okay.
You know, just, you know. Maybe it's a lot right. Who knows? But, you know.
You know, I think.
I'd fund that idea.
I think that for women, we're just not used to.
Here we go again.
Shut the fuck up. Clutching your necktie. What? We're not used to what? What was I even going to say, motherfucker? God damn you. Look at misogyny.
You're just talking over us again.
Start a sentence. She's much better just talking over. Start a sentence and then she'll come in.
Go ahead.
Yikes. Yeah, she'll be much better.
Anyway.
As women.
Well, no. Okay.
Yeah.
As women, we don't really have permission to be loud and stupid and crazy and brash and question and, you know, all of these things, the kinds of things that I do and I am. And so, like, my whole life I've been too much for everybody in so many different ways. And so, like, whatever, man, you know, like, I'm just fucking trying to have a good time. I'm trying to feel alive. I'm trying to be happy. And I'm not going to make myself small to make people more comfortable. Like, if you don't like the podcast, then just don't listen to it. It's not for you. Right. I'm trying to, like, you know, encourage these young bitches out here, you know, who want to change are cycles of fucking trauma. You know, like, that's who I'm talking to. So if you don't like it, then just, you know, keep moving. I feel fine about it, you know?
That's one perspective, for sure. Yeah.
Wait, I have a story for you. I think you would like. It's very simple, but it goes to show, and even how, like, times have changed, and yeah, like, your voice is powerful, right? And it was, someone was, on Threads.
I mean,
that's all same shit.
But suck.
Yeah. Okay. No. Anyway, it was on the internet, and then there was this post. This mom's like, apparently someone was like talking or making fun of my daughter, and she went straight up to the kid in the hallway and let him know and told him never to speak on her name ever again. Ooh. And then like walked away. And she's like, damn, I was so proud. Cause in the 90s, I probably by design would have just like had to put up with it.
That's so true.
So yeah. It felt very in line with what you're getting at. So
yeah. Like, we're not taking this shit smiling anymore. We never were. Like, it's just old. Like, misogyny is so boring and just unfortunate for everyone.
Yep.
And so, I don't know. I think if you have some shit to say and you really believe it, then say it. And you know, have a good time. Like, I'm always cackling and shit, and white people or other people don't like it. And it's like, well, I'm sorry that my joy is an inconvenience to you, you know? So, eat carrots.
It's also pretty like tone deaf. No, like, if you, I'm assuming they're just like on some hater stuff, not really listening to the pod.
Yeah,
because to tell the 25% of the women on the podcast to like speak less. I'm like, bro, the math is very broken and you clearly don't listen to what
we're... Did you notice Jorge's doing math about how many women are in the room though? That's a little fucked up.
But and it's like her podcast. Like,
it's like, mine, honey.
Why do you talk so much on this?
That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, yeah, like just don't think about me. How about that? But obviously I chafe you, right? Somehow.
Some people can't handle constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I mean, I haven't said a word so far. I haven't been
I think
able to
Martin
get a word
wrote in. That comment. The more I hear.
You keep linking me to all these comments, and mm-hmm. I might agree with all of them, but I did not write them.
He's very pro all these egg emoji bot trolls. I don't know. I think you're Kevin Durant's burner. I think something's happening.
I think you're Debbie. Yeah. Oh, I always thought you were Debbie.
That was weird, right? That was weird.
Hey, do you think Debbie remade herself to then hate on me again?
Oh, you think it's a different... Oh, interesting.
Oh, I don't know.
No, I know Debbie.
This sounded like a totally different voice. It sounded like very, very different. Like somebody like made it a point to not sound like Debbie.
Oh my goodness.
That's why he got that new butt. He's like, they'll never recognize my typing this way.
And here's the thing.
Are you implying I type with my ass?
Oh my
I'm trying
God.
To figure out the logic of that statement.
You talk out of your ass, am I right?
That was...
Thank you.
I think it's funny when people, especially white people, don't like me. I'm like, I don't care, you know? Like, what the fuck do I care?
Guess you don't like warm milk. Somebody's not getting invited to have room temperature milk.
Hey, someone's not getting egg salad this weekend.
All warm and like dangerous.
Dangerous.
Yeah, because it has mayo and you leave it out. And, oh God, many health concerns when going to like white Thanksgiving, I will say. I said it.
Controversial.
Why are you just staring at me blankly?
Because we figured if we try to talk, you'll just talk over us. We're tired of it.
This is going to be a one-woman show, okay? I'm cutting all three of you.
All right. Fine. Uh-huh.
Do we get paid? Like a severance package of some sort?
No. Huh? We were never getting paid from this.
Like a percentage of what we're currently making?
Yeah.
Like something?
Yeah. Martin spends weeks negotiating the percentage.
Of zero?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, to bring us in, the star of the show,
who doesn't let
Erica
us talk.
L. Sanchez.
Oh, so sweet. Thank you. Thank you. No chingas. That's what I always say. And this is the No Chingas podcast, and I am Erica L. Sanchez, and I just made some really delicious caldillo duranguense. And I want to say it in that fashion because it deserves the drama.
Are you going to put the recipe on the socials?
No, I won't. But you can find the recipe in one of the cookbooks, the second cookbook by Bati Hinich, who is so, so talented because so many recipes I've made of hers have been insanely delicious. So highly recommend. And she's got some shows too.
Yeah. She has one on PBS where she's going to like border towns that I kind of fell into and pretty fascinating.
Yeah, she's cool. Anyway, so I'm trying to cook like a señora because I am working on this novel. And so I'm just like making these really complicated Mexican dishes that are really fucking amazing. And people don't really give enough credit to. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
What up, it's Roddy. Y'all know why I'm here. I don't want to be here, but I'm here for the kids. I feel like they need to get that game.
This is Jorge. Don't call me George. And I really, really want to be here. Like, I'm almost, like, eager, I guess thirsty. You can say.
Thirsty.
Yeah, like, I'm,
you could reel that in.
I got here early, actually, like 20 minutes early.
Act like you, you know, you've been here before.
He did. I waited in my car to play it cool a little bit. I'm really, really happy to be here.
I am Martin Malecho, PhD in Pendejadas from Danny Trejo University. And if we're in the elevator, just tell me what floor you want. Like, we ain't got to talk. Like, no chit-chat. Just, like, just keep it moving. What floor? Four? Cool.
Sounds like something happened.
You think people want to talk to you? That's cute.
I love it.
I love that for you.
Because you look so interesting.
Yeah, I mean, talk to what? You. You're so mysterious, honestly.
I'm wearing these cool shades indoors.
Oh, my goodness.
Have you ever got caught in an elevator before? Like, stuck in one?
No, thank God. That's just a sitcom
ploy. I got stuck in one for, like, 25 minutes with one dude. So it was like, we were, like, it just got to a point where we were really talking, but I don't remember his name at all or anything.
But he was the best man at your wedding.
He's one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life.
This is a rom-com, right? This is
beautiful.
Yeah, but I do want to ask, did you luck out, though? Was it, like, did it happen to be a bearable person for 25 isolated minutes.
No, it was good. It was good. And like we had moments where we just didn't talk and it was cool. Okay. It was like, fine, you know.
Was there a sexual tension?
It was one of those. Yeah, it was so comfortable with him. You know, he does one of those people, you used to be quiet around him. You know what I mean? You used to be quiet around him. It was like that. It was great. Who's got one?
I just keep getting a bunch of emails about schools banning my book. It feels like a lot, you know, and I'm starting to get worried.
But who emails you those?
Like librarians or teachers, or, you know, one teacher said that they took all of her books from her class and they're just like not gonna teach my book.
It's quite dystopian, if you ask me.
It's really creepy. And I don't know how to, like, deal with that. I don't know what to do about that, honestly. I'm like, I'm trying to write some books over here, and then I have to worry about my books getting banned over here. You know, like, God damn it. Like, can I just fucking do what I do and be left alone? I don't know.
Is it just a school level? So, like, I just want to make sure I understand. So, like, these states, they can still go home and, like, if they're old enough or if their parents, can they order it?
Yeah.
There's, like, a state level. I just want to make sure I'm, like, understanding it fully.
Yeah. I mean, what happens, from what I understand, is that in schools, you know, they'll try to teach my book and then they catch wind.
Oh, so it's curriculum. Like,
it's not even curriculum. Yeah. Just getting out of the library. Like, they have. It's like, Moms for Liberty are like one of the groups that are leading the charge on this. Mm-hmm. And these are these nutbag right wing loons.
Wait, who
are,
they all homeschool, don't they? Which is the weird thing. Isn't like a big portion of this army who then cares about what's in the library?
This whole idea of like purifying the library from anything that's like not like for kids.
It's terrifying.
And now they have like some sort of weird ass database where it like you could search random like words, and if that word is in a book, so obviously are they reading the books?
Mexican is in your title, so
it's just the title of the book. It's just gone.
It's the title and the cover.
They didn't have to go very far.
They're like, oh yuck.
Like Mexican, is this woke?
And daughter? Yeah. No, thank you.
Mexican son, maybe just because you know.
Just wait until the movie, motherfuckers.
Oh shit!
All right.
But man, that is one of the Moms for Liberty people. I don't know where, I think in Florida, but like she's on a school board or an elected position. And like she obviously is against, you know, LGBTQ, everything, against trans people, everything. And she got caught like in a threesome outside of her marriage, like doing all this crazy stuff. And they're like, you know, people are like, you should resign, not because of that, but like it just shows how hypocritical you are just as a person. Like,
yeah, they're all talking full all this shit.
That's a perfect illustration
and this,
of how
like perfect family, yeah,
exactly.
Shit, and it's all just bullshit.
It's a lie.
It's all bullshit.
It's all based on a lie.
Yeah, this is just trash.
And we see through it all the time. We've lived long enough.
And it's weird. It's this weird coincidence that the books that most books that are banned are bi and include main characters that are BIPOC. Yep. It's like this weird coincidence. Yeah, I can't understand how that happens. That's very strange to me. Or not just BIPOC, but LGBTQ. Like it's, yeah. Like, yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like it seems almost targeted.
I don't know.
I don't want to go that far. That, I mean, that seems like a stretch.
I mean, maybe there's a pattern there, but I, you know, it's hard to say.
But yeah, that shit is stressful and taxing.
Yeah, because like the question asked, like, yeah, they can order it at home, but it's so, you get so close to a book when you work through it with your class. I got to say, from in that pivotal age where your brain's just like supercharged, you and your classmates can just unpack the shit out of a book. I think it's a powerful space for it.
It is. It's different.
I didn't mean to like oversimplify, but I wanted to just like make sure I understood.
I think that's really important.
I wasn't doing no fucking outside reading when I was like middle school. Like, exactly. You read a book now for school? Like, are you fucking kidding me?
The Outsiders? Like, read that?
I did because I had to because of fucking school. But if I wasn't going to pick it up on my own to read that shit.
You read that inside? That's not how it works.
I used to steal books, and I'm not sorry.
Yeah.
But you're care. Right.
That's weird.
A lot of folks, yeah. School is their one and only book club.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I was in any other book club.
You were in a 12-year-old book club?
No, I was not. I was not reading any other books.
Everyone cool was in a 12-year-old book club.
Or I wish club. I would have been in one. That's nice.
Are there 12-year-old book clubs? I mean, other than just school?
No, I would have joined.
Sixth grade or whatever.
Only imagine, you got my like wheels turning about the, if they're reading through the book together as a class, they're definitely writing, you know, submitting papers and thinking through it like critically.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder it's what important. Like beautifully like challenging or unorthodox ideas like they're having, because if they're first gen, the book is like, they're like, I get it.
Right.
And they're now being like approaching all these ideas that are very simple. Your book isn't like scandalous.
No, it's just a coming of age story. Like, what the fuck? I don't even get it. Honestly, I'm like, she's just a girl. She's pissed off and she wants to be who she is. And, you know, like she wants her mom off her fucking back and she's distraught over her sister, you know, like she's going through a lot of stuff.
But like, why does she have to be Mexican though? That's the problem. Okay,
yeah.
Couldn't it just be a white girl?
That no. You're actually
that's the, no. I mean, that's literally the
it wouldn't have been banned. Like,
it sounds great, except for she's Mexican. So I'm afraid pull that one off the shelves.
There'll be main characters in like a show, a movie, a book. And it'll be a white dude, and they're just like, "Oh yeah, he's a dick." It's like part of the allure,
right?
But because like even this, like what teenage like Latina like young woman, it's like she's really not. And even if she was, y'all love it when the story like when it's a white main character,
exactly like Holden Caulfield.
Yeah, and he's just that's how he is, right?
Yeah,
he's
right.
That's how like Dickhead Brian is. That's what Dickhead Brian does. So we call him Dickhead Brian.
We love him.
Yeah.
We can be dickheads too. God damn it.
There's two sides to this argument. I think sometimes people forget one or the other, right? Like one of it is, and it's like this whole windows and mirrors thing that, you know, people have discussed. So this concept of like, you need to see yourself represented. So if you are somebody who can relate to the stories in this book or any other book, you can see your identity or aspects of your identity like there. And you're like, oh, look, it's just like me, or I have connections, or my mom's like that, or my grandmother, right? There's different things that you can see in yourself. But there's also the value of like being exposed to a bunch of books outside of your immediate experience, because we're such a divided fucking country, and our society is just so fucking fractured. You empathize. Books teach you to empathize, right? Like, so whether you're empathizing with somebody who looks like you or somebody who the experience that they're having is not in many ways similar to yours, but you can connect different things, right? You're like, oh my God, this person is of the Muslim faith, or this person is white, or this person is this, or this person. Like, all of those things are things that people can latch on to, and then you watch their story and you put yourself in their, literally in your brain, you are putting yourself in their shoes.
It's what's in, that's like part of the propaganda. It's important to them to ban it because yeah, you don't want actually, that. You'd actually understand, like, all the horrible things they're doing to immigrants and stuff like that, and all the policies that are, you know, against like immigrant children, you would wait, be like, wait a minute, I can empathize with people because I read a couple of these books where like I understand exactly where they're coming from. Like, why are we doing this?
So you'd be horrified.
So it changes everything. Yeah, it makes you ask questions that they definitely do not. Like, if I was a white person, I'd just be like, and a kid, I'd be like, why are they banning? Like, what the fuck could this be? Yeah. Like, To find out that it's simple. Like nothing, or you know, we take a kid to be like, "Oh, so what's the big deal?" Like, you know.
Well, they say sex, and then the religion, and just her, I guess, general demeanor.
I mean, which they probably didn't read, but it's just how like white supremacy, like you were just dropped in a world where this is what it was, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so like everything that was that character and you know, why she was the way she was and everything all goes back to, you know, the white supremacy being in this country, like why you were dropped here in this way, why you're in North America, why we look like this, like all that shit.
And so it tells many stories.
It puts a person of color in the context of that, and you can really see that in that book, and they definitely don't want you to, like, it just comes obvious when you start reading stuff.
And it's dangerous for that protagonist to be presented as a fully fleshed 360 degree human.
Right. It's like someone that matters. Yeah. Yeah. Like it's like, oh shit, this person matters.
And then also we're all 100% certain they don't read these books.
They don't.
They go in with the angle, it's like anything, dude. If you walk into a movie, a show, a book, a conversation, just like wanting not to like it, you're gonna find all these things not to like. This is just how like humans are built.
Yeah, just don't read it then.
But they don't is the worst part.
That's the thing.
It has nothing to do with them. They don't know what it's about.
It's not for them. That's what they're mad about too. It's like, oh, this isn't about me. It's like, of course not. God damn it, you're very boring.
or we heard a lot of your stories. Like we heard a lot already. We know a lot about y'all already.
We've had to put ourselves in the shoes of white protagonists.
History class every year.
Friends, and God
over
damn it.
And
Friends.
Over.
Like we over. Know already. So like we don't need another class or show on it. Like we've seen it already. We already seen it.
I watched Seinfeld and
loved it. Too. I loved it.
And jumped into New York with no people of color. And yet I was supposed to just believe it. And I did because I was young and stupid.
Same. Yeah. Yeah. Like New York was ingrained in my imagination through the lens of Seinfeld, honestly.
You know, they did make fun of themselves a little bit. Like, George had a job and he's like, I think his boss was black and he wanted a black friend. So the only one he knew was a fucking exterminator. Like he's literally so he like paid him to go to dinner and pretend like he was his friend. Like they it's sort of like they can acknowledge that they don't know shit about black people even a little bit. His only connection is like his exterminator.
But you know who I can't stand though? Like Seinfeld himself, because when he's been asked about shit like this, he turns around and says like, hey man, this is a meritocracy comedy. Like, if you're funny, you're funny. You're going to be... I'm like, that's the
He's
fucking,
not funny,
that's,
though.
He's the opposite of funny. You've come to realize that it's... What's his face? The Curb Your Enthusiasm guy. Larry David. Yeah. That's the guy who's funny. Like, that's the reason that show worked.
Comedy's a great example of what's going on right now. Because if you... I watch a lot of stand-up, like, man, every platform, multiple times a week. And it's the people of color making me like belly laugh. Like they got a point of view that you cannot have if you haven't been through this country in that format, right? And then the people like leading the comedy world, like financially or like stadiums and like touring, it's just like Bert Kreischer and like Andrew Schultz. It's just like three white dudes who are just like leading the stadium tours. And I'm like, there's so many better point of views out there. I'm not even going to sit here and like, are they funny or are they not? I don't, some of them I don't think are funny.
They don't want people to start questioning the status quo is really the issue.
When somebody shouts meritocracy, it's because they've benefited generally from a system that has produced them.
It's nice for them, imagine.
A lot of the I guess, just comedians, I'm just going to say older comedians, not because I mean like Chappelle's and this, the old guys just feel like...
they're out of touch.
Yeah, well, also like you can't say stuff anymore. Like you said, and then someone pointed out, I forgot where I saw, but it's like, that's just not true. You can say way more. Like you, you couldn't say shit in the 90s, like even close to the shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like you couldn't say shit. And now you can say a whole bunch of shit. It's just like, the only difference is, I'm trying to figure out like what the problem is with these motherfucking...
They're dudes. Lazy.
But it's also like you can get... The type of criticism you can get now, like you can get it from just like you can give it everywhere, you can get it from everywhere, and they just are not used to people being like, "Yo, I think your shit fucking sucks," because they wouldn't go to their show, they wouldn't watch it, they wouldn't. But all of a sudden, they're on the internet and they just see it and they're like, "Yo, I think you suck," and they're like, "Wait, what? Why do you think I don't like the way?" Like, "Hey, I'm fucking 20. I'm not 55 years old. Like, your perspective is fucking old and fucking dumb."
And that's what it is, right? It's like, shit has passed them by and they're unwilling to relent. And either you have two options. And I feel like this applies to more than just like old comedians. It's like you either listen and evolve and kind of like watch what young people are doing and go like, "Oh shit, they're right. We've been doing this wrong the whole time," right? And you kind of see their points of view. Or you fucking white knuckle fucking grab the shit and just say, "I'm staying right fucking here. And I still want to make sexist, homophobic, fucking racist jokes. And I want you not to fucking talk shit when I do
it." Their cancel culture is just some criticism from a segment of the population. Like, that's all.
Yeah.
And it's because they're getting canceled on their fucking $15 million Netflix special. Like, you're getting some criticism because you're fucking old and fucking out of touch. What the fuck is wrong? Like, that's the whole shtick is that you're supposed to criticize shit. That's the whole point of you as a stand-up comedian. You always say this shit, right?
And the beauty of stand-up, I feel, as an art form is I really do think there isn't a topic you can't explore. There really isn't. I don't think there's like something that's like keeping... But it's about how you explore it, right? Like, if you're not respectful to a group of people, if you're trying to explore, like, then they're gonna call you on it. That's a given. That should happen, right? If you're gonna be offensive. But if there's an actual point to what you're saying, or you have a degree of like insight or critical thought, or you want to offer something as part of a larger conversation, I think people and audiences are not only forgiving, they want that.
It kind of feels like the nuance is one-sided. Mm-hmm. So like if you're a comic and say like these older, like indoctrinated, like leaders of the touring world, like see your thing, like that's not funny. And it's just like, well, I don't think you're seeing like the nuance, right? Like then you're just saying outrageous shit and there's no nuance. You're just straight up bashing, punching down. And then folks are over here like, "No, it's not actually the set. It's actually like, if you criticize," you said, right. They're like, that's where they're not seeing the nuance. It's like, no, I don't have to like you.
Yeah.
Ralph Barbosa, everyone's asking him how he felt about George Lopez, like punching down and like shitting on him in that podcast. And he's like, I don't think y'all know how old I am. Like, I don't give a shit about George Lopez. I didn't watch it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah.
They lack a lot of nuance and they're becoming grandpas like right before our eyes. But it's just, we shouldn't give a shit, but it's like they wield power in that industry now, and it sucks because there's comics with point of views, nuance, funny as hell, and they're just getting punched down from these like fucking Hunger Games of comedy now.
And you know how you know it's insanely insincere? When you have somebody like Jerry Seinfeld, I'm going to go back to him because I'm not a fan, who says, like, essentially alluding to cancel culture, I'm like, who the fuck is canceling you? You're talking about like
you're still
how seats on your fucking air in the airplane don't recline enough. Yeah. I'm like, is that controversial? Yeah. Is that getting you fucking canceled, you piece of shit? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Doesn't he have like a buttload of cars too?
Yeah.
No, his Seinfeld, the deal with Netflix was fucking absurd. Absurd.
Oh my God. That's sick.
What, did they have to get him those cars for the Cars and Coffee? Was that part of the deal or...
God knows, man.
It's interesting though. But like, these old dudes are just, some of them just flail. Like, they're just like, they just can't take it that people that like they're not on the cutting edge anymore or shit. And that, you know what I mean? And they just don't understand. I feel like they just don't understand. Like, well, what? But I'm me. Like, I was the guy who always said the shit.
And everybody left.
Yeah. I was always on the edge, you know, but it's like they don't understand that.
The edge fucking moved, man.
Yeah, it moved a lot.
Just pay attention. Yeah. Fucking read some stuff. But,
yeah. And they're not critiquing anything interesting. It's like, again, I think I mentioned the Ricky Gervais, like, monologue back when he hosted God knows what Hunger Games convention, right? And but he crushed it. Yeah. He did not care. He basically said, talked about what is it, the Epstein, and he's like, I know you're all friends with him, and I don't care. It's my last, he's drinking a beer.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
like,
Harvey
I don't,
Weinstein. Yeah, yeah.
He's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't care. I know you're all friends, and he's just like, don't come up here and say shit about like giving back or the world because you all are so out of touch and don't know shit. So just like take your award and go the fuck home. And like that's super successful kind of whites we like, I think you call it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's put him
but
on.
Like that's nuance and that's a point of view and that's like punching up still, even though he's very successful.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Take advantage of moments. That's what I say. Like I've got some events coming up and I'm like, what kind of fucking crazy shit am I gonna say this time? You know,
just gonna fold it in there.
It's not that it's not that crazy though, you know. That's the thing. It's like I want to be considered a full human being, and I believe everyone should be, you know. Like it's not a radical thought, you know.
Are you canceling me right now?
I was gonna point that out.
this is that culture, I think. No, yeah, also covered that pretty well.
Someone had to do it.
Yeah,
someone.
No one's talking about.
We're the only ones with the courage to do things like this. Yeah.
We got another.
Yeah.
No changes.
I have a quick one. I wanna get this one out the way. I turned the TV on the other morning. Had my coffee. It happened to be on live TV. I know no one watches that anymore, but. Anyway, it was on like a news channel in the morning.
No, we all do, Grandpa.
Yeah. So, randomly, yeah, I go on this channel and it's fucking the most perfect thing I could have turned to. They were doing a fucking Groundhog Day presentation in some fucking park or some town in like Chicagoland. I don't fucking
Chicago
know,
was
but,
like the off-brand one.
But I had this moment. I mean, it was morning. My mind was clear, having a coffee, and I'm like, other countries have to look at us like fucking idiots. Yeah. What the fuck are we doing?
I often think about that. It's like insane. When they watch TV over there and, you know, some impoverished land and they look at the way that people live. Some people live here. It's just so sick. Like, man, imagine you're struggling and you know, you're an impoverished person and then you watch a show about people who collect cars or whatever, or people in these gigantic mansions, you know, like that sort of like the excess. And I used to think a lot about that guy who would eat, what was his?
Oh, like Super Size Me or something like that?
No, it was on...
like the Man versus Food?
Yeah, thing? Man versus Food. Shit. And I would always be like, what must a person think?
I'm a focus.
You know?
Dude, you got me scared for our content because streaming is probably worldwide. Like, I know different IP addresses give you a different library.
Yeah.
But if they get Man versus Food, I'm scared for how they... for that that POV, that's insane.
I don't know.
It's upsetting.
It's seductive though. Can't you imagine if you really are living in a situation that is very very, and you don't have to leave this country to find somebody who's living in abject poverty or struggling in many different ways. It's seductive, because that's why you have so many fucking people who like, what is the whole idea? I think we've brought it up before of like, people see themselves as I forget where the quote's coming from. People see themselves as temporarily inconvenienced millionaires. Mm. So they see this and they put themselves in that situation and they empathize with that stuff and they look at it and then they want it. And so they will then make decisions based on that. So as much as we're like talking shit, like I feel like, I don't know.
So yeah, I my wheels are turning. It's almost like, we're showing all this access, and that's what so much of our content and shows are about. And I feel like they would start being like, naturally, if you have nothing, you want something, right?
Right.
So you're hardwired to like, I want that. But then when you see our fucking Groundhog Day celebration, I'd be like, actually, I don't want that. I
mean, that's what crosses the line.
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing?
But I think that's why people aren't as upset still with like people like Jeff Bezos and shit, though. The super yachts and the fucking mega yachts. You should be, if you are poor in this country or any other country, you should want to, that whole idea of eat the rich. Yeah, you should be fucking furious at all times, anytime you see their face or you hear about them.
Yeah.
But we aren't, like, collectively. Like, we might individually or in groups or even lots of people, but I'm like, and I feel it's growing, but it's still not like what it should be.
And I get, like, the capitalist people will be like, well, people have a right to make money, stuff like that. Sure. You know, if you're poor, you have the right to make money, right? You need to. But, like, how can you need that much? It's just not possible. Like, otherwise,
it doesn't make any sense.
When you have like $10 billion, like, what the fuck are you literally doing with all this shit? You're giving a little bit away. Otherwise, you think it grows on itself because you're in the market. Can you manipulate it if you want to with all that kind of money? And like, it's just fucking.
And then they'll give it to charity, some of it.
Some, but, like, but it's like, what do you
like,
need?
What the
how
fuck?
Can, how can any one person need that much money for what?
Yeah.
Make their own army or some shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
compare the amount from their donations of these insanely wealthy people to how much their super yacht costs,
or compare their donations to your donations in the percentage. I know for a fact that like people, like regular people, give at, you know, maybe like a 10% to 10% of their income, perhaps, to charity on average. Anywhere from, I think it's like 6 to 10%, but rich people give less. Like,
yep.
The richer you are, the less percentage of your money you give to charity.
But the more credit you get for giving that away.
Right.
Yeah.
And that amount, like, if you are like just middle class or poor, and you are like, whether you're contributing to like a GoFundMe for somebody who, you know, that is experiencing a tragedy, whatever those, however you're doing that, that money means something. You are donating money that is potentially food for yourself, clothing for yourself, like your rent money, you are donating real tangible, like, it hurts a little. Like, you're giving it because you know it's for the better good, but like, it could hurt. Like, you are literally, that's,
and not to mention,
we're
just
forced
to like
do
a,
that when, I mean, not anymore, but like, you know, when you're an immigrant and you're here and you don't have all these resources,
people,
like,
share with you.
You just, everyone shares, man. Like, that's just how you get by.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about like
the
think
most
about,
human
like,
thing to do.
Yeah,
you're talking about, there's like the registered, like, you donate to a nonprofit, but really think about how the money moves for poor people between each other, just to help each other.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, all the GoFundMes for people's like terrible tragedies,
and
like
then
that shouldn't be a thing.
And then the non-monetary donations, where you like, I've lived in neighborhoods like, you see shit just get activated where it's like, they're dropping food off at your house because they know somebody, like a father just passed away in a family. They're babysitting for this kid consistently because they know mom is working. Right. There's like whole systems that don't get any sort of shine that happen in working class neighborhoods and middle class neighborhoods, of people just doing things to like support one another. But instead, we're pointed in the direction of watching these dumbasses on like the covers of magazines and fucking TV shows. And
with their pec implants and shit.
I have this this video or like quick panel I want folks to kind of check out. It's quick. It's maybe a minute and a half about. Hopefully y'all have seen it, but it's like a Dutch author. His name's Rutger Bregman, and he's at Davos in Switzerland, which is like a big World Economic Forum.
All the billionaires fly their private jets there too.
Exactly. Like, he's like, he calls it out on a stage. I guess the whole weekend is spent like, what can we do? And he's like, there's taxes. He's like, dude, we're doing breakout rooms talking about philanthropy. You came on this private jet. The carbon emissions for this event is insane.
Yeah.
Like, like we're talking about how we can like save the world. And he's like, taxes. He just kept going in. And I encourage everyone to watch that minute and a half.
Because
it goes back to sharing. You're hoarding. You're not sharing. You're like that fucking kid no one likes in class.
Exactly. Yeah.
I saw someone make this point and I thought it was brilliant. They're like, look, if you text the top 100,000 people, like earners in this country, or people who, like, their net worth in this country, 100,000 ain't shit. That's like not even like a big city is several million, right? Like, so 100,000 people ain't shit. It's a medium to small size town. If you were to tax that number of people, you increase your taxes by a slight bit, we can fund all of the things. Like everything you ever thought of that would help all of the people, you name it, like universal health care, this, that, and the other. We end homelessness. We give everybody free education. All of those things can happen.
Waffle shops.
Let's reel it in.
Dude, they're busy digging holes and building dick rockets. Yeah.
Boring company.
Sorry, dude. Yeah. They're busy.
The title of this episode? Dick rockets. <Yeah.
laughs> Digging holes, building dick rockets.
Hey, how did
Where are you going to put... You need a hole. You're not going to build a dick rocket with no hole.
Speaking of which, wait, how did that get approved by so many like engineers and designers?
Spoiler, they're all middle school boys. Yeah. Every engineer in charge of building that rocket was a middle school boy.
I'm like, that rocket ship looks exactly like
Why are they all... All the engineers are just giggling. Yeah. What? Why?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Wait till it gets unveiled.
No, but it's so true. So when you hear about, you know... all these issues, like if this wealth was distributed, which is what tax do as it should be, we could solve a lot of these problems. But these fucking Bezos and Musk and all these day-holes don't want to do that. They think they deserve it.
It's because they're so handsome.
This is Chingaderas, and this is the segment Chingaderas.
Chingaderas, oh, okay.
And this is where we discuss whatever we want.
Chingadoos and chingadonts.
And people ask questions, and sometimes we answer, and sometimes we don't. So here's one. Sad Girl Queen. She asks.
Best name ever.
I know, it's adorable. Dating advice for us folks who prefer to stay home unbothered, and I have resting bitch face, LOL. Yeah, it's a tough situation to find a partner, you know.
Logistically.
Yeah.
Just you gotta leave, yeah. Right? You gotta go outside.
Yeah. Even maybe the DoorDash guy?
Yeah. Ooh. They gotta come to you, I guess. Yeah. So yeah, you gotta do something.
Order a lot of Grubhub.
The DoorDash guy. You know, like, well, how does that work?
First, you ordered a linguine for two.
And then you open the door. Oh, looks like I ordered a little too much.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. What a beautiful love story.
Like, do you like linguine? And they're like, I'm lactose intolerant and I'm not coming in your house. Bananas.
Yeah, I got three more deliveries to do.
And I stink. I've been doing this for 15 hours
straight. Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah.
We probably shouldn't do this live on air, but like, or recorded. But I have an idea then. This is clearly a market that's untapped. So we're talking DoorDash and food. Oh. So, I mean, what if like you can DoorDash a dude, like a person. To come to your house?
Whore-dash?
Terrifying.
Is that?
I think that's prostitution, no?
Yeah.
Well, let's not get into semantics. Like, do you think this would work?
Yes, it would.
Yeah, so you pay them to come to your house to
hang out,
sex with you?
I mean, if it goes there, I'm not saying that. That's not, you pay them.
Do they still show up
with the chicken sandwich? Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, so you sell the food.
Yes.
That's what you're selling.
And a person who's coming to deliver the food is willing to entertain a romantic relationship with you.
Straight up just
or anyone.
Yeah. That's just 100%.
So you think it'll work?
Yeah. Remember when you said we probably shouldn't record this conversation? Yeah. I think we probably shouldn't have recorded this conversation because that's just...
Yeah, legal's looking at us crazy.
Yeah, legal. Yeah, little Terry.
Wait, there was
He's
an
setting
app,
himself
though.
On fire.
There was a cuddling app and I go, well... I'm like, that's a slippery slope because you're like an app. And they were like, it was like Cuddles for Hire pretty much.
Like, yeah.
Who's offering?
I don't think
I don't want to. I really don't. Honestly, like, I don't want a hug from the person that's like doing it.
Yeah.
Like, what's their story?
What if they've been doing that for all day in 15 hours? Yeah. You're the last little spoon.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm like, you smell more like chicken than the DoorDash guy. What
if that was your profession? You were a professional hugger.
Mm. What's it pay, though? Mm. Oh, that wasn't a job offer. It was like, okay, you're not saying that there's like that out there? Okay.
You're hired.
Send your resume.
He writes a cover letter for this job.
I need a measurement from your fingertip to fingertip so I know what your chest arm ratio is going to be.
My resume,
like.
I hug good.
My mom says I'm a great hugger.
Aw, Milhouse.
Wow. So we gave you no advice. Yes, so you're fucking. We have a.
Oh, but you gave us an idea for a $1 billion app.
We have a little scheme
so
scam.
Thank you. Yep. Is what
well,
we're saying.
Well, I'm really sorry, but you just have to go and do it. You know, it's just. That's
I mean,
the
do
thing.
You, here's I don't know here's do just go do things that you like to do. But like, so if you like to, I don't know, watch movies, find people like a group to go watch a movie with. If you like to. I don't know. I'm assuming you're into like some nerd shit, just based off it, just everything I know about you from your question and your username. So maybe you like, you know, board games or something like that. Go to a place and play board games. No offense, you're probably not a nerd.
even the coffee run. I mean, it's like it's all these places. You got to think about places, I guess, where you would like think to potentially find someone interesting to talk to.
I was always trying out for a meet cute. You know, like I really wanted. Like a cute little story.
Just like timing it, just like drinking your fourth coffee. And it's like, Erica, go
he's
home. Like,
he's got to put in the time, really. It's a numbers game.
You got the jitters. You've gotten weird after three.
She's at the carnicería, just keeps flipping her hair. And the carnicero's like, ma'am, what do you want? Like, what do you want?
I did date a butcher, I will say.
Wow. Did he wear Stanley boots?
While he was chopping up animal bodies,
intestines and shit. Oh man. Okay, so do we want another question or does someone have a chingadera?
Yeah, let's do another one.
All right. So okay. This is from Karina. Thoughts on Gen Z sitting out this election year feels like a vague question because word count here. So.
Fair. Okay. Fair.
I didn't know they were sitting there because they're just too old dudes. And
it's like, I think part of the argument, and chime in if I get this wrong, listener or any other listener. But it seems like because Biden has essentially gone along with, you know, supporting or at least, you know, not making any attempt to put any sort of like pressure to stop a genocide. Young people are like, well, do you expect me to like aggressively and happily vote for somebody who doesn't take action, who has the ability to, or who's enabling this action? That's at least a little bit that I've been picking up. I could
pissed.
Be wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Should you aggressively and happily vote for him? No. Should
just
you vote
it.
For him? Yes, please.
Like, please, just please. Do it.
I mean, my opinion on it is that the...
Wait, what if that's the meet cute?
Yeah.
Oh, you, hey. Yeah,
you guys
are
both going to the voting booth.
Nailed it.
Walk out. And what if they found out you voted? You, first of all, what if you were never there? You would never meet Tommy or you'd never meet... You know, Davina or whatever.
Are we giving advice for both listeners?
Yeah,
or both
right.
people who wrote
that's
in.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
At just, the same time,
drop your "I voted" sticker on purpose, and someone might pick it up.
Yeah, and be like, boom, there it is. Meet cute. No, but like, I don't know the you know the orange face dude is just so terrifying, and everything they stands for, and all that his supporters stand for. I think on the international stage, so if you're worried about that, I think on the international stage it would, with him, it would definitely get worse for everyone in Palestine, everyone in Eastern Europe. It would,
he feels indebted to everyone.
It would
that's a worry for me.
It would immediately, from that perspective, if that's if we're just talking strictly that issue, it would immediately be like just horrible on that front for everyone involved. Because he'd probably try to pull out of NATO or some shit like that, which, you know, Ukraine, that'd be a big problem there. And then, you know, as far as, like, his support for Palestine and Israel, like, he doesn't give a fuck about anybody. he doesn't give a shit.
No.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Motherfucker might double down, honestly.
He's he's like, a fucking sociopath. He doesn't care how many bodies are left.
Like, just ruin the whole fucking planet.
Yeah, but
I
will say I get their question because I have this feeling every election season. I'm like, so these are my two options? Like, this doesn't feel like,
you know, like what I was told as a kid was a democracy. You're giving me two senile white dudes, and it's like, this is, and these are my options. Yeah.
And you're telling me to voice to vote for the lesser evil. And I'm is not an enthusiastic vote, right? Like, so to kind of piggyback off what Roddy was saying, like, you don't have to vote happily, but I feel like there is an existential threat, and I can't, and I, again, like Jorge is saying, I understand. Like, I think all of us who've been voting and paying even somewhat kind of paying attention to politics, we know, we understand. But it also feels like an obligation to, like, stop something from happening, like an autocracy from, like, just falling on us entirely.
Like, but I'll say I get their point, because we don't have, like, e-votes. We don't vote electronically. That's not a thing yet. You get a mail-in ballot or whatever. That might help. But I'm like, in the grand scheme of things, you have to, like, leave your house and take time from work. And it's typically a weekday. And you're just like, damn, like, all this for, like, this, like, genocide supporter. Like, I understand that point. Yeah, but sure. I do think the alternative is a lot more points.
And the bottom line is, man, like, they're banking on people not voting. Like, that's sort of the whole thing. How could a minority rule a country with a minority ideal and all this stuff? You know, one electoral college and all kinds of nonsense and bullshit like that. But also, like, they're just banking on people not voting. So it's like, if you, like, in a sense, we really are a democracy. So, like, if everyone voted, like, they wouldn't be able to pull a lot of this shit. If we changed a lot of our rules about voting and elections altogether, a lot of this shit would go away as well. But that's probably not going to happen.
Unless everybody votes. Who can't vote? Electoral that's college another conversation.
Right, and it's like, who can't vote, right? And who is it harder for them to vote? You know, they'd like to make it hard for you to vote. Why? Like, it's another thing, too. If you see, like, a big government trying to make it hard for you to vote, aren't you like, oh, shit.
Suspicious why that's the case.
Why would they do something like that? Why would they make it harder for me?
I want to give a big kudos to poll workers, because, you know, they get forgotten about for 3 years, and then every fourth, we're like, oh, shit, they're, like, kind of heroes. Mm-hmm. Because there was a few that, like, went down, like, conveniently, what is it, like, 8 years ago or something? Mm-hmm. And it would be, like, in the hood, like, in the projects, mm-hmm. or, like, near seniors, like, a living situation. And, without these folks calling and getting things stood up the right way, mm-hmm. a lot of important votes go unaccounted for. And, you know, it looks like very convenient places broke that day.
You know, for a few seconds after you started talking, I was like, poll workers. And I just, that's...
Oh, the other kind.
I was thinking,
shout out to those poll workers, too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they work every year, but these work every 4 years.
Yeah. And their lives are threatened.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, they get a lot of shit. I don't think they're compensated well. I have no clue, but I don't think it's worth what they go through. And again, some of them saved votes from actually getting put for seniors, for folks in the projects, like very important big districts that needed to be counted.
To get people out, though, it seems like we're just telling people, like, hold your nose and just, like, take your medicine, right? Like, hold your nose and just, you're going to vote for the less shitty option, which is kind of like what is the reality of the situation. But that means the Democrats need to step up their game to make that a party that people actually, like, it needs to be aspirational, and it's not, right? Like, you need to speak to these groups that have felt, like, marginalized for so long, because I know as Gen Z, as young people in general, black and brown folks have felt like this system isn't for us, so there historically has been, like, underrepresentation when it comes to it. So I'm like, because then the Democratic Party becomes, like, really stupid, and they're like, well, I can't believe they get upset that people are thinking about not voting for them. I'm like, step the fuck up.
Right.
Like, you actually have to give people something aspirational. Give them, like, and then follow through. Cause then we get like rhetoric and then no follow through. Right. Like,
it's always the safe option, which is,
blows
my mind.
We've had dreamers waiting for their entire fucking lives. Dreamers who are in their 30s, who the Democratic Party keeps saying, like, we got you, we got you. We're gonna make sure you have a path to citizenship. Don't worry, we got you. And these are people who've done zero things wrong. And now of course different groups are disenfranchised. Like, now, obviously they can't vote, but I'm like, other people then go, clearly this system isn't set up for us. So I'm gonna sit it out. And I get it. I can understand that frustration.
Think about these young folks. The last time I voted enthusiastically was, like, the first time for Obama, right? I was enthusiastic as a motherfucker, right? But, you know, it's sort of like look at where we are now. And also, that was a long ass time ago. Also, so if you're just of a voting age or Gen Z, you weren't around for that shit. You didn't feel any of that shit. You've had some pretty fucking terrible, terrible elections and terrible choices. So I get it.
Watched terrible seasons of this show so far.
Yeah. You came in like season 5 and 6 where like it's really, the really writing bad. Is shit. Yeah, it's just sort of shitty. Everyone. So we're hoping you can get back together. But yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, like I get it. You know, but
it's
like,
been Sharknado for like, the past
but Trump seasons. is a literal nightmare for people. Poor people, people call everything.
An just existential threat.
Yeah, just a serious...
For white people, humans white people, in general. Just humanity. Yeah.
Sometimes I think if I like insisted on still working through my 60s and in my 70s, whatever company I was at or had would look at me like I was crazy. Like, dude, fucking settle down.
Yeah.
So it like, kind of blows my mind.
Start gardening or some shit, man.
That always trips me out where I'm like, why are we doing this to ourselves? Like, I just feel like there's billions of people in the world. We just have to have better leadership options. Is that far-fetched? Like, I would get fucking laughed out of my office if I came in at like 75, still trying to fucking run the show.
Run this shit, right?
Like I'm in touch with what's going on and I'm in tune with what like people need.
Just sit your ass down. God damn it.
I like that.
It's time.
No chingas, bringing you ageism every week.
No, it means take a break. Fucking, this is not for you.
You deserve not to do it. Plus, you know, if you add that to the mix.
I mean, don't you just want to sit around and read and like, drink nice things?
Yeah, when I'm old, when I'm in my 70s, I'm not fucking with y'all. Like, I'm not trying to, I'm out. I'm chilling, dog.
You don't want to make life or death decisions for me at like 76? I'm sitting and
thinking with a drink, man. You know what I'm saying? Fuck it.
Decide like, what fuck age that. You're going to retire. Decide who gets medical care. Make, you know, influence all that shit. You don't want that?
Yeah, Charles, man. I'm just trying to be straight. Y'all don't do your thing, man.
So let's get into Si Chingas, shall we? We shall. Oh, all
right. Yikes.
So I got one. I was watching YouTube. Andrew Callahan, I kind of like his YouTube reporting. Mm-hmm. He does a pretty good job. He's been around for a while. He takes no ads, no paid nothing. It's pretty good journalism. Channel 5 News. He's been around for a while. Mm. I think he only gets paid with extended clips on Patreon is kind of what I've understood, which I think I'm like solid. Anyway, dude is pretty good. He speaks Spanish. I always forget. And he did this really good border like crisis like a bit, and it was like an hour long.
Oh man.
So he's there. He's talking to the folks trying to get, asylum. He also like, he goes, this is very different. He's showing like, everyone thinks like, folks are running from Border Patrol. This is a group he documented folks going to asylum, like hoping for
a good outcome.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But so there's a mix, right? There's coyotes involved. He got, because he's bilingual, he was able to get like really good interviews.
Oh, wow.
But I think my biggest takeaway of what I want to share, well, one is like, go watch that. It's dense. It's an hour, but it's the best piece of content I've seen around the border of what's actually happening. I've never even seen the asylum seekers in line, like, I mean, been walking for days, thirsty, sad. Like, one dude from Guatemala has been traveling for like damn near a month. Poor guy, he was really broken.
Wow.
But again, because he's an empath and like bilingual, he's able to truly connect to folks. So number one, watch that. Two, something I saw that he plugged that I want to plug. He spoke with, and I'll give the quickest bit of context and then I'll toss it up to y'all. But there's definitely like American militia that try to like, I think illegally police the border.
Minutemen is what like certain groups are called.
So then on the flip side, I came across this group. They lived in a border town. They would see people come through or pass away or get like hospitalized from like dehydration. And it's called humaneborders.com. All they do is just put like barrels of water in those crossing avenues. Mm. It's very simple. I wanted to plug it. I feel like the context was important because I am suggesting go watch that to understand what's happening every day. But dude, just like, I think it's Arizona. Just I think it's a father son, and the dad, after like the third day of like deaths in the desert, he was just like, all right, no brainer. Yeah. I got it.
Oh my God.
So
I mean, the fact that he had to do that, mm-hmm, you mm-hmm. know, that yeah. that's an option, that people die in the desert. It's just so fucked up.
The treacherous journey that people make to go, for example, people who take La Bestia, which is the train that is not a passenger train, that people just climb on this train that travels through Mexico from like Central America. There are women who, and I saw this kind of feature of these women who have tasked themselves with making large amounts of food. And then like as the train, because the train's not stopping, it's like whipping through their area. They're literally just throwing all of these, like, just food up to these people. Man. And then you have folks at the border. I'm like,
see, these are the heroes we're talking about.
This is what we're talking about.
And this whole idea of, you, in order to do those sorts of things, you need to see these people as human, right? So reporting like that is empathetic, that is actually, like, it doesn't treat it like, here are these animals that were in the, like, National Geographic. And if you look now, like, these aren't, you know, this is just what happens. Yeah. And, oh, this is just life and death, but this is just life on the border. I'm like, you need someone to actually like put a spotlight on this in a way that treats these folks like humans who deserve dignity and like a better life.
Yeah.
That's why they ban books. God damn it.
Information's powerful, and how you deliver it or your access to it, sounds like. But yeah, I don't know. I donated to the barrels of water in the desert. I forget the link. I'm going to say the link one more time for folks.
We'll put it in the show notes.
Humaneborders.com. Mm. Yeah.
Or not.
And then, I mean, people destroy these water tanks and water bottles.
It's probably a daily fight between those pickup truck militias and folks just trying to improve their quality of life.
Isn't there some shitty caravan of like truckers coming down to the border to help like secure the border? Somebody's like falling apart because there's like it's just a bunch of grifting going on of each other.
Of course, they're grifting.
I believe that's
absolute shocker.
So watch out, they're coming down.
But it's circling back to the voting thing. But like, if you are voting, this is one of the many issues that you're voting on, right?
Yeah,
like,
that one would get worse.
This would get progress. Yeah, not that it's great now, right? Like, but it would get worse.
Teaching us?
Oh, yes. I have a very silly Si Chingas, and that is, I got a haircut and it's very different and I like it. And that's it.
I love the mohawk look on you, honestly. I think it's great.
You like the shape of my skull?
Yeah.
It's cool.
We didn't know, honestly, what it would look like under there.
You said mullet when you were going, but it looks more mohawk, and I think that fares well.
I see.
It's like a mohawk.
Yeah.
You merge them.
I think I look great.
It looks super aerodynamic.
And isn't that all that matters?
Yes.
That's all that matters.
Yes, ladies. As long as you feel beautiful. God damn it.
All right. I think I could follow up a haircut, as what Si Chingas is. Mine is in a similar vein, really serious. I'd like to just shout out and just show my gratitude for Al Pastor and the Lebanese immigrants to Mexico in the 19th century that brought this wonderful delicacy to us. And that's it. That's a big one.
With pineapple.
Shout out. You ever just kind of stare at it when you go to the
taqueria? Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's glistening.
And then just
turning, it's dancing.
When it's being shaved,
that's a pole dancer right there.
Oh, yeah. The shaving is satisfying to watch.
Oh,
that's a pole worker.
And dudes who are like pros at doing that. That's
just too bad. Too bad you're banned from all the stores for getting an erection from the fucking El Paso store.
I told him I'd stop though. Like I promise, guys. Like I will. Yeah. I will. I will try.
They said we'll only deliver. You can't come in here anymore. And look.
But even
at the
delivery guy. Like, I'll just leave it at the door.
There's a new delivery service I want to tell you about. That came up with. Hold on.
Came up with it.
Doesn't matter, Rick. It's brilliant. Doesn't matter how it arrived.
Roddy, do you have a Si Chingas?
No.
All right, cool. Well, then.
Damn, pork, hair, water. Like, come on. You got something. These are like essentials.
Nah. You know, I don't know. My kids, yo, has had little birthdays. It was great. Love that shit. Son had a bowling party with his little little goofy ass friends. It's great. they got called out on the speaker to quit fucking around, and they like called out the parents out specifically because they were like fucking around on the lane, like, and I couldn't control. And they were like, "Parents, please control your kids on lane one. You can't."
Damn, that's coming of age. Yeah,
shit was pretty. It's pretty great. Yeah,
that's a coming of age.
Yeah, so yeah, sweet. That was great. That's a great time. But yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, and give us all the love on all the different platforms.
Thumbs up.
You know, yeah.
Fives.
You know who you are if you don't give us all the love? Yep. You're the take a penny, leave a penny person. You know that thing at the, they're mm-hmm. only taking pennies.
Yeah, you're only,
taking
don't
pennies.
Don't be like that.
Don't be that.
Yeah.
We do this.
What the fuck were those for?
Just for the love. Even.
Sorry.
The love
take a,
of it.
The take a penny, leave a penny?
What the fuck were they for?
If you needed a penny.
Oh, yeah.
We, why people, the fuck would I need a penny?
It's like a pay it forward. Cash.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. When y'all grew up, things were like 3 cents. I forget. Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, this is $1.03. You take 3 pennies and you just.
You could buy a home with a paperclip back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, we should. Yeah. Tell children about that. They'll be just like mortified.
They're like, what? Yeah, no, that's a good question. What the fuck is it? Yeah, fair. Fair. For our old asses, yeah. Well, like us on MySpace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Napster, LimeWire.
Yeah.
Send us a carrier pigeon.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Peace.
Good night.